All right, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Let's go ahead and grab our Bibles. We'll pray over the Word, get started, amen. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that Your Word is life to those who find it, and it is health and healing to our flesh. Father, as we open Your Word today, I thank You for life to flow. I thank You for health and healing to flow. And we give You the praise that as the Word is preached, faith will come. We thank You for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, lift your Bible up. Say this with me. This is my Bible.
This is my
Bible. This is God speaking to me.
I am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
And I can do what it says I can do.
Today I'm a believer. Therefore I'm a receiver. I do believe.
I will receive.
Absolutely everything. That God has for me today. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, give our podcast listeners a nice hand clap this morning. Praise God. We're glad you're listening. Hopefully they'll like the Word and come on and over and join us. Amen. So we are talking about a very important day, Palm Sunday. I forgot it was Palm Sunday. I was going to finish my message from last week. But as I was showering, Sue said it's Palm Sunday. So we have to do Palm Sunday.
Amen.
And you know me, I'm not a traditional preacher. I don't preach, you know, Christmas just because it's Christmas or Easter because it's Easter. But it's important for us to celebrate. Amen.
Amen.
And to be mindful of what Easter is, what Palm Sunday was. You know, Palm Sunday was the victorious entrance of the king.
Amen.
Entering into Jerusalem. He was going in to set what they thought his kingdom up. Jesus had other plans. He knew where he was going. You know, he knew that he was going to go to the cross. I've had somebody tell me that he didn't know that he was going to be going to the cross. That he didn't know what his ministry would be here on the earth. Yeah. And these people used to go to our church, and they go to another place now. And Sue and I had went out and we'd had dinner, and they literally said that Jesus did not know why he was here. And they believe it because that's what their pastor is teaching them. So they've gone from what they know, which they'd been taught for many years, to lost, in my opinion. Because Jesus did know why he was here. The Bible says he set his face like a flint to get to that cross. Right? He knew what he was doing. He knew where he was going. He knew as the time got even closer, we see him in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he literally is almost sweating blood and crying and asking the Father, Father, if there's any other way to do this, but not my will, yours be done. And of course, we know what God's will was. Jesus had to go to the cross. Amen. But before all of that mighty, mighty stuff that took place, there was Palm Sunday. So let's talk a little bit about Palm Sunday. Matthew chapter 21, if you'll go there. Matthew 21. Oh, praise the Lord. Matthew 21, verse 1. It says, now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately they will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They did. They went and did as Jesus commanded them. Jesus gave them specific instruction, didn't he? He said, you go, you loose them, you bring them to me. If anyone says anything, you say, the Lord hath need of them. That's all you had to say. When the Lord speaks, right, people listen. Amen? Command. The command of the Lord. It says in verse 7, they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, their cloaks, their clothes, and set him on them, setting Jesus on the donkey. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Amen. Amen. This is Jesus. Now, this was his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. This is what royalty would do. Okay, this is what a king would do. He would come in a procession on a donkey, right? I'm going to read some things to you. Let's see here. Praise the Lord. All right. Palm Sunday is the beginning of the Holy Week. This is the beginning of the Holy Week. This was the week where Jesus knew where he had to get to. This was the most important week of his life. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, right? The Son of David, the Son of Man, Son of God. It's a lot of stuff. Amen? He is the King. Now, they had believed that he was going to set up their kingdom right there and rule and reign forever. That's why they were so shocked when Jesus said, I'll be crucified. That's when they were really shocked when he said, I'll go to my father. Oh, wait a minute. We going with you? Right? I mean, they did not want Jesus to leave. This was their king that they had heard about all through the Old Testament, have waited and waited and waited for, and now he's saying he's leaving again. Well, that's not fun. I'm not digging that at all. I'm sure not one of them were digging that at all. But Palm Sunday is a reminder of Christ the King and who he is and that he is coming. I'm going to give you five things about Palm Sunday. Number one, this you'll find, we'll look at 1 Corinthians 15:55 here in a minute. But it says this, God's word tells us the people cut palm branches and waved them in the air, laid them out on the ground before Jesus as he rode into the city. The palm branch represented goodness. It also represented victory. It was symbolic of the final victory he would soon fulfill over death. The final victory over death. And then you look at 1 Corinthians 15:55, and this is one of my favorites. 1 Corinthians 15. And actually, I like this whole thing, but yeah, let's start at verse 15. It says, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, or hell, where is your victory? Verse 56 says, The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, hallelujah, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. You notice how he added, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In the Lord. Reason he said in the Lord, because you could be doing it in vain if you're not getting his command on it, right? Because we know the mind of Christ, right? Yeah. We know that the Spirit of God knows the plan. Amen. So we've got to get the plan from the mighty God. If we don't do that, and we do whatever we want to do willy-nilly, then we could be doing our work in the Lord in vain. Means nothing. Well, we don't want nothing, right? We want blessings and things. Amen. We want it to be recorded. We want to know that we're doing the work of the Lord. You know, we want him to say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, enter into the joy of the Lord. We want that. Amen. Number two says this. It says, Jesus chose to ride on a donkey, which directly fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy in Zechariah 9:9. In biblical times, it was common for the kings or important people to arrive by procession riding on a donkey. The donkey symbolized peace. That's why he didn't come in on a chariot. He could have. He could have come in on a chariot with six horses pulling if he wanted. But what did he came on a donkey, which they symbolized peace. And so those who chose to ride them showed that they came with peaceful intentions. Jesus even reminded us that he was the Prince of Peace. Amen. The Prince of Peace. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud."
Hallelujah.
That's final.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's what we do. See, we shout aloud.
Amen.
We shout aloud. There's a reason you see this throughout the entire Old Testament.
That's right.
Where they shouted praises. They weren't quiet about anything. Everything they did was loud. Clanging cymbals, smashing. I mean, everything they did was loud. Blowing trumpets in Zion. Remember that? Blow a trumpet in Zion, Zion. Really? I mean, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. I mean, all this. It was always loud. Why? Well, maybe they thought Jesus or God couldn't hear them. I don't know. No, I'll tell you why. It's because they loved God and they were excited. They were joyful. And they wanted to praise God no matter what. King David was dancing around all the time, pirouetting, the Bible says. King David doing pirouettes. What?
Yeah, he was.
But yeah, amen. You see, that's how much they loved God. It's how much that they were not ashamed of worshiping and praising their God in front of anyone.
Amen.
They were never ashamed. They didn't, and he was a king. But he didn't care. He in his eyes, it was more important that God see how much he loved him than how much men cared about him. He didn't care about their opinions. If he did, he probably wouldn't have done that. We call them dignified people, you know. Oh, they're humble, false humility.
That's right.
Right on? So rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous. Righteous. And having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now this was in Zechariah 9:9. And Jesus fulfilled it. Exactly fulfilled it. Well, that's how he is, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think he knew the word then, didn't he? I had somebody tell me that he had to study because he had to study so hard because he didn't know the word when he got to the earth because he was a man. Wow. I've not found that in here anywhere. He is the word. The Bible says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was talking about Jesus. What is going on with people? They're learning this stuff and believing it. All because the preacher standing in the pulpit's the one saying it, and you're right. It's deception. It's absolute evil, deception. It's lies. The devil only comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. If he can steal the word from you, choking it, the Bible says, choking the word out with the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and lusts of other things. That chokes the word out, right? Lies choke the word out when you believe them. When you're not smart enough to get in the word, dig in. When a preacher says that to you, tell him, where's that scripture? Come on. If you cannot give me scripture and verse, and this is something my daddy taught me a long time ago. If you cannot give me scripture and verse, I'll believe it when I find it. That's it. And until I find it, that sounds contrary to my spirit and contrary to the word. I'll believe it when I see it in the word. Amen?
Amen.
Come on now.
Got to get it.
You got to go after it. Exactly. All right. Let's see. 3. I did read all that. Yes, I did. Okay. The people shouted, "Hosanna." They were hailing Christ as king. Hosanna. The word actually means save now. And though in their own minds they waited for an earthly king, God had a different way in mind of bringing true salvation to all who would trust Him.
Amen.
And how did He do that? Well, Psalms 118 and verse 26, let's look at that. Psalm 118. Hey, I went too far. Psalm 118. Why that keeps moving on me. All right. Verse 26. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We have blessed you from the house of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So we know Romans 10:9 says what? If we what? Confess with our mouth that the Lord, or that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we are saved. Hosanna!
Hallelujah.
Save now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I love that. That's exciting. Number four. Number four. The Bible says that Jesus wept for Jerusalem. In the midst of the praise of the moment, he knew in his heart that it would be long that these same people, shouting Hosanna, praise, shouting of, putting palm branches down and their cloaks across the road for him to walk in on as royalty, right? He said these same people. And the thing is he knew this. That's why the Bible said he wept, because he knew. Tell me he didn't know what was going on. You cannot convince me of that. You cannot. It says that he knew that in his heart that these same people would turn their backs on him, betray him, and crucify him. His heart broke with the reality of how much they needed a Savior. Luke 19. Luke 19. All right. Start in verse 41. Luke 19, verse 41. It says, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your gray, or for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side. Now, this is Jesus talking. And level you and your children within you to the ground, and that they will leave you in, or they will leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your salvation. Nor the visitation. They were not looking. They were not looking. He wept because of these people who he came for. And he knew why he was here. He came for these people. And he knew that these were the very people that were going to say, give me Barabbas, kill him, crucify him, let his blood be on our hands and our children. He knew this.
And our children.
Yeah.
That's great.
I mean, what knucklehead would curse his own children? And they did, literally with the blood of a murderer.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
That's deception right there,
yeah,
isn't it? That is deception. That is how slick the devil is. And they've had Jesus with them now ministering for 3.5 years. Jesus.
Yeah.
They knew Jesus right here. That guy right there was healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, casting out devils, right?
Yeah.
Forgiving sins.
Yeah.
They knew who he was. But guess what? They said to Pontius Pilate, take this guy and give us the murderer.
Yeah, the murderer.
Go ahead and crucify him. We don't care. Let his blood be on us and our children.
That's crazy.
Wow. After this guy had ministered, had taught them, blessed them,
loved them,
showed them the true love of God, all this he did in that time period. They knew who Jesus was. And that's just terrible. Amen. Okay, number five. Palm Sunday reminds us that the reign of Christ is far greater than any the mind of man could ever conceive or plan. Man looked for someone to fight their battles in the present day world. Yet God had the ultimate plan of sending His Son to fight the final battle over death. Over what?
Death.
Over death. The key to us living forever.
Yeah.
He had to win the battle.
Yeah.
Right? To fight the final battle over death. This is the greatness of why we celebrate this week. Because of Christ's ultimate sacrifice, we can be set free from death.
Thank you, Lord.
We are set free from death because of our Lord's sacrifice and victory now. There, see, His sacrifice was one thing, but then He had to be victorious over sin and death. Over sin and death. He had to be. For us to then what? Be free from the law of sin and death. Uh-huh. Come on. Right? Look at John 11:25. John 11:25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." He is the resurrection and the life. All we've got to do is believe in Him.
Amen.
All we got to do is, you know what? There's a sign. It said that there's only one person that could build a bridge to, all the way to heaven with just two pieces of wood.
Wow.
His name is Jesus.
That's
it's on the sign at that church that we go by, Francher. Yeah,
but I like it.
They have some good ones out there. That one was a good one. Amen. Let us be mindful this week of what Jesus was doing.
Amen.
Being mindful of where He was going, the importance of what He had to accomplish. He went through so many emotions through this time period.
Amen.
He went through so many. Betrayal, denial,
yeah.
Death. You know, Even though Judas did what he did, we see in the Word that he was sorrowful. He was sorrowful, so to the point that he hung himself. Now, I know my Lord Jesus, and I know that my Lord Jesus still loved him.
Oh, absolutely.
So he now, a man that he was training to preach the gospel, has killed himself over what took place. And I know Jesus was sorrowful over that.
Yes.
I know He was. I mean, come on. So He went through sorrow and betrayal. So many different things. Then pain came. And suffering came. Pain and sin. And then He took our sicknesses and our diseases upon Himself with 39 lashes of the whip for us. Just so we could be free from sickness and death. Sickness and disease and poverty. The Bible says that He became poor so that we through His poverty might be made rich.
Amen.
All this He did for us in this week that He was going to the cross.
Yes.
All this time that He did. And I would like us to stay mindful. This is the Holy Week.
Yes.
So let's be mindful of Him every day this week. And, you know, I like to think, you know, Lord, what were you doing today? What were you doing on Monday before you got to Friday? What did you do on Tuesday? You know, and just go through the Word and just, what were you? Wow. Oh, man. Wonder how you felt when that took place. Right? All that time getting to the cross, He was still meeting the needs of the people. Not His own. That's how good He is, see? That's how much He loves us. And you know, if we knew we were going to die in a week, we'd be meeting our own needs. That's how human nature is. We'd be taking care of ourselves, setting up camp if we could. Maybe go kick the bucket list, you know. That's how man is. But that's not how our Lord is.
Nope.
He knew that he was going to the cross.
Yeah.
He had a week to get it done.
Yeah.
And he was going to die and be raised from the dead. He knew this and then go be with his Father.
Yeah.
So he did everything he could in that week for people.
Yeah.
And not for himself.
Amen.
That's how awesome he is for us. I mean, that's how much he loves us.
And
that's what we should do back. We should love him just as much.
That's right. Our whole life.
What did he say? Lay down your life for your friends.
That's right.
Wow. I mean, I don't call you servants anymore, he said. For a servant doesn't know what the master is doing. I call you friends.
Amen.
Whoo! We read that last week.
That's
how good our Lord is. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Well, if you'll stand to your feet, hallelujah. Let us pray. Shall I pray over the food up here? Might as well. Might as well. Yep, we're going to do the eggs first. So, yeah, because we got some kids that got to go. And so we want to get that done first. So let's pray here. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you. What a mighty, mighty Savior we have. Thank you that this is the Holy Week and we will be mindful of our Lord and Savior. Thank you that we are free from sin and death. That we are free from the penalty of the law of sin and death. We are free because Jesus made us free. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice and for all that you've done for us. As we go this week, I pray, Father, that you'll watch over us. Give your angels charge to guard and keep us in all of our ways. That in our pathway there is life and blessing. And I pray, Father, over the food today. Father, I pray blessings upon those all who prepared it. And I thank you that this food is blessed to the nourishment of our bodies. And we give you thanks for it, Father, and all of God's people said. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right.